You might have picked up on the fact that AI is quite a big thing. And just this last week, my web browser that I use, a little message popped up to say, restart your web browser because there's a new feature. So I shut down my web browser, I restarted it, and whenever it does that, it kind of gives you a page of what's new. And I kind of sucked in. Normally I just close the page and I carry on, but I sucked in because it said, now AI is integrated into your web browser. And I'm like, woo! And then it said, if you type in something like this, create a picture of a landscape, it'll do that. And they had a picture of a landscape. I'm like, no, come on. Serious? So I head across to the left-hand side where her name's Aria, my lady, my AI lady's Aria. So I headed over to Aria. I clicked on the button. It opened up this little tab, and I thought, what am I going to ask Aria to create? So I said, Aria, create a picture of a cute car. I know. I didn't have a lot of stuff in my head. I was like, what can I do? And so then Aria goes, boom. I'm like, oh, that's a cute car. Come on. You rock, Aria. And then I thought, I've got this profile picture. And I thought, if Aria can do that, like just on her own, do you think she can do something with my profile picture? So I typed in, take my picture and make me look more handsome. And this is what she gave me. I know. Hey? So I'm thinking, I'm looking in a mirror, I'm like, wow, splitting image. I'm like, Aria, did you not pay attention to the photo that I uploaded? They're like miles apart. So then I'm going to give her a chance. Come on, Aria, you can do this. So I said, okay, can it look more like me? Just type that in. And so then she gives me this. Like it's the fur, it's the feather. I don't know. I'm not sure where this girl's like hanging out, but she's like on a different planet. But there you go. That's Pastor Brian, hey? Like, hey, if I was standing next to that screen, you'd be like, it's exactly the same person. Anyway, so then I realized, no, okay, come, bring it in a bit. The profile picture's just going to have to stay like funny Brian. And I thought, I'm doing this series on Defined by Grace. So I'm going to give her one more chance, okay? This is her last chance, Aria. So I type in, can you make me defined by grace? Are you ready? I'm not sure if she misunderstood the question. I still don't know. It's a bit of a one-sided conversation with me and Aria. Woo, Aria, you rock. Anyway, so there you go. This is your new pastor, the graceful Brian. But we've been going over this thing. For the last 6 weeks, I've been going over Defined by Grace and looking at a whole lot of different people and saying, as you look at these folk in the Bible, notice how their lives are defined by grace. Remember Abraham, how he had those three clear moments where grace was evident. Sarah, who laughs at God because God says she's going to have a baby, but then she does fall pregnant in her older age. There's David. And Bathsheba, he has this mishap in his life, but still, God is graceful. When he says, I'm sorry, God is graceful to him. There's Peter, Jonah, Paul, and all of these people, their lives are defined by grace. My challenge all through the series has been, as you go to your Bible, as you read about these people, and as you go through the Word of God, try and find the moments of grace in the Word. We always look for the word grace, but you can often see God's grace at work if you're just aware of what you're looking for. And then also, I want to encourage you to look for God's grace in your own life. What has God done in your own life that would say, wait a sec, my life is defined by grace? And so what I want to do in the concluding sermon this morning, as I finish off Defined by Grace, I want to share some of the grace moments in my life where I've seen God at work in my life. So the very first place is when Jesus Christ found me. And I'll explain the terminology in a little while because I say that on purpose. But I was somebody who was taken to Sunday school. But as soon as I could get out of it, I got out of it. I went to confirmation only because the boy next door was going to confirmation and he said to me, everybody has to be confirmed. And I thought, oh, well, that must be me as well. And I was done. And it was done. And I never went back to church. But then I met Lana. And if you've been in this church any length of time, you'll know the story, but I'll give you the abridged version. I met Lana. She was in a youth group. I started going to the youth group, which I never was interested in before I met Lana. And then she said to me, I play the piano on a Sunday night. So guess where I was on a Sunday night? That's right. In church. Singing. No, just looking. And then, at some point, somebody said, well, the really important service is Sunday morning. So now I'm going Friday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I literally was at church more than the pastor. I really was. And now I know all the younger people sitting here are going, Brian, you were stalking her. Because that's what my children told me. You're most probably right. But then this church that I slowly got involved in because of this girl that I really liked, they had a camp. And I went on this camp and Jesus Christ found me. I went on the camp and I'd been in this church for a while. And I'd seen Christians and I'd heard people singing songs. But on the camp, suddenly God made me aware of how genuine the people are. So it wasn't some fancy message I heard or something that somebody said, but I just realized all the people, when they sang a song about Jesus, I got the sense that they really meant what they were singing. And when I spoke to them, they sounded like they had a real relationship with somebody, not in a book, but somebody more real than I could imagine. And they were nice to each other more than I'd ever seen before. And I didn't respond by jumping up and running to the front and throwing up my hands and doing the sinner's prayer. But inside, God said to me, was stirring me to go, what do they have that I don't have? I'm missing something. And it was so real that the next day I phoned the minister. That was Malcolm de Kock. You met him at our 50th celebration. I phoned him, and the next day was a Monday. He graciously took my call on his day off. And I said, hey, what is this? I was confused. Having never been serious about faith, I was confused. And he said, well, come see me. And so when I went to see him, he said, oh, you're a Christian. I said, I'm confirmed. And he was like, no, there's a difference. And I accepted Christ into my life. I made that commitment, and that's where everything changed for me. And it was remarkable in the fact that I didn't go and search God out. But he found me. He found me. He came to me and he said, you're going to notice something on this weekend that's going to blow your mind. And it did. It blew my mind so much that I then went into full-time ministry. And now I'm here nearly 30 years down the line working in a church. And I always thought I had found Christ. And some of our terminology is deceptive. I accepted Christ. You do. But know that he pushes your buttons first. Okay, he works in your heart. He pulls you. He opens your eyes. He says, hey, pay attention to me. He makes the first move. We always think we make the first move. No, God always makes the first move. Now, as we've been looking at the series, most of the people that I've shared, not all of them, but most of them had a moment of problem in their life, a mishap, a slip, an error of their ways, a sin. Bad judgment call. And I was not any different to that. Everybody that I've shared on, I've also said their lives were not defined by their mistakes, but their lives were defined by grace. And so the same is true of my life. But let me go from Jesus Christ found me to my failure. I was in a position of power and authority at a point in my life. I'd finished my national service. I had my first job and I had power and authority and I had a friend and he was a good friend. I really thought he had my best interests at heart, but he had a friend who wanted me to do something that I had the power to do that was illegal. And because he was my friend and I had the power and authority and there was something in it for me, I said, yes, I'll do that. The risk was very low to getting caught, we thought. But we were caught. And when all of the dust settled, I had a 6-year suspended sentence and I had to pay a fine. But my life went through that, but that has never defined my life. Because from that moment onwards, I learned a huge lesson. And I often think back to that time and I think, you know what? I had a good friend. Young people, be careful who your friends are. And I was young and I was dumb. So if you're young, please try not to be dumb. Although there's some older people who can do some of those things as well. So try not to do those dumb things. But it didn't define my life. It was a difficult time. And sometimes as I've shared about the different people in my study, some of the people, there was an overflow. And I know it was incredibly hard for my family to go through that. I got a job, and I'll share a little bit of where I got to in life. But I learned a valuable lesson as well out of the scriptures. There was this verse that I was led to, Proverbs 13, verse 20. And the verse says this, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools, and what do you think that says? Do you think it says you become a fool? It's a natural kind of way that we think, hey. God's word is so much better than that. It goes like this. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. How many times are we associating with people and we don't become like those people, but we get into trouble? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's so very true. So I learned this very valuable lesson. And I look back at that time of my life and it was a huge regret. Something I'll never lose. It's always there. But I realized there was a reason that I had to go through that. Because out of that, my life took a very different direction. From that time onwards, I got very, very serious about following God. And so the next part I want to just share a little bit about is leading and guiding. How God has led and guided me. He's been gracious to me on more than one occasion. He's been very good. And often I don't see how God is leading until I look back. Sometimes I look forward and I'm like, oh, okay, right, I know what you're trying to tell me. But sometimes I've had to look back. So after that incident, I got involved in the church. I was working full-time in the church. And then there was an opportunity to go to Youth for Christ and be a missionary for a year. And I thought, that's really what I want to do. I want to go and do that. And at the time when that was going down, the job that I had, they came to me and said, the next person up's leaving. Do you want their position? There's more money involved. I'm like, oh, well, that sounds great. And the most cunning thing is that the answer for Youth for Christ and the answer for this company I was working with were due on the very same Wednesday. Now, Friday, I went to youth. I was running a youth group in Kempton Park. I went to youth. And as the elders dropped off their kids, I'm like, you guys are the wise guys. You've got all the brains. What should I do? What should I do? Youth for Christ or this business opportunity? And they all, without fail, applied their wisdom and said, pray about it. You need to make that decision yourself. I was like, oh, so unhelpful. Anyway, at that very time, that weekend, oh, caveat, Youth for Christ had also contacted me and said, we would like you to be the leader of this team that we want you to run. So get a position at work and get a better salary or be the leader of a team for a year. So I was house sitting that weekend. I went home to where I was looking after this house. I got into bed, and next to me on the nightstand was a book of names. And I thought, wow, I wonder what my name means. I'd never thought that there was possibly a meaning to my name. So I picked up the book. I don't know if you ever see name books and look for yourself. Maybe it's just me. Although books are going out of fashion, so maybe not going to happen. But I looked through the book and I got to Brian and it said, fearless leader. And straight away I knew what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to be the leader of that team with Youth for Christ. And so, just quickly side note here, God doesn't always talk through His word. He does, without a doubt. But sometimes He works in other ways that are quite miraculous. And so I did that. So I said to my job guy on Monday, I said, hey, I'm not going to take the position. I'm leaving. They were gracious. I still had 3 months till I had to be with Youth for Christ. They said, oh, stay with us. Do what you're doing. And when you're finished, if you want a job, you're welcome back. But that never happened because I went to Youth for Christ for a year. And when I came back, the church that I was in, Kempton Park Presbyterian Church, said, hey, we want you to work full time with our young people. And so that's what I did. And when I got back to Kempton Park Presbyterian Church, Malcolm was there, the very same Malcolm that was there when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he said to me, you know what, Brian, maybe you should start studying for a degree. Maybe you want to be a real minister one day. I was working with young people, and I always make that joke because we always look at the youth ministry guys as like not real ministers, you know. They're like, they jump up and down with lots of energy and make a lot of noise. But he said, start studying. Maybe one day God will call you to be a minister. So I'm like, okay. But I'd gone to a technical high school. I didn't have a matric exemption. A university exemption. So I said, that's fine. How do I get in? So Eunice said, don't worry. Take one subject in your first year. If you pass it, you're in. I'm like, okay, it's going to be tough. I battled in high school. This is going to be really tough. So I thought, what's the easiest thing? Bib studies. So I took Bib studies for a year. And when I walked into the exam, it was multiple choice. I was like, what? University, multiple choice. These oaks are kidding. And I aced it. And so I finished my degree in that time. And then in the Presbyterian Church, once we finish studying, we then get the opportunity to go and work with another minister for a year to get some different exposure, be exposed to a different church, and learn from another minister. And so we were looking around at that point to go and do my post-academic training. Always joke, the Anglican church, it's called pre-ordination training. Potty. We've got post-academic training, but anyway. So we were looking around where we're going to do this training. Lon and I would have to move. One of the places that called us was Springbok. Want to come to Springbok? We're like, what? Where is that? And they said, well, we're looking for a married couple because it gets quite boring here. Didn't really have the appeal that I think the lady had hoped it would. So we could have gone to Benoni, we could have gone to a number of different places, but one of the places we spoke to was the Mount Horeb Presbyterian Church in Petersburg. And I've always had a very strict discipline to do daily Bible reading. I've always been very, very hard on myself. Every day I need to read some of God's Word. Even if I don't feel like it, I read. Even if it's not making sense, I read. And so I was going through the Word, and that morning when I'd heard back from Mount Horeb Presbyterian Church, I was reading in God's Word. I realized I've skipped a scripture. Sorry, Cindy, just go to Exodus 17, verse 6. And as I read Exodus 17, 6, it was the next thing I read. I will stand there before you by the rock at Mount Horeb. And the youth center where they wanted me to work was called the Solid Rock Community Youth Center at Mount Horeb. And so straight away I knew God was saying, we're going to Petersburg. Again, we did have to look on the map to find out where it is, because it's like, woo, somewhere north. And we were going to go there for a year, and we landed up going there for 4 years. But God's grace was evident in all of these moments as I was transitioning to Youth for Christ, as I was transitioning to Mount Horeb. After 4 years of being in Mount Horeb, Malcolm caught up with me again and said, hey, Brian, we're looking for somebody to come to Hillcrest. We really think you might be the person. So I said, well, we'll pray about it. Lana didn't like the heat and the lack of rain, so her prayers were answered quicker than mine. She's not here to throw oranges at me or tomatoes. But I really wanted to be sure that God was leading us to this place, that God was in this. We don't want to just do things that are just willy-nilly for our own sake. And again, my daily Bible reading was going. We were happy in Petersburg. We were ministering there 4 years. We had a youth center. It was really a good place to minister. But my daily Bible reading after Malcolm had called me, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And so that's how we landed up being in Hillcrest. All through my life, I know that God has been gracious. When I decided that I wasn't interested in Sunday school, he didn't give up on me. When I decided I'd go and do confirmation just because that was the right thing to do, he didn't hold that against me. When I took a turn in my life that was super wrong, he didn't stop loving me at that point. And then I know, as I look back in my life, I just know that he's constantly been leading me in life. And that reassures me that his grace is with me. And as I go forward, he's going to continue to lead and guide me. So I've said to young people, be careful, don't be young and dumb. I've told the older people, don't fall into that trap. The question that I want to leave you with, a couple of things. Are you able to see the times in your own lives when God's grace has been active? And maybe it's a good time to go back to that first time when you met Christ for the very first time and say to somebody, well, this is what it was like. It's good to refresh your memory about those things and say, this is what happened, this is what I felt, and this is why I decided that I would make him Lord of my life. And then are you able to see how incredible grace is? Are you starting to pick up the moments in Scripture and the moments in your own life of the grace that is at work in and through you? And have your lives been defined more by grace? Remember the quote that I keep leaving with you, grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. And then being saved by grace should lead to a life of holiness. We cannot have this incredible grace active in our lives and have it kept to ourselves. The grace that we have has to spill over into other people's lives, the place where we work, the people that we interact with. That's what God gives us grace for. It's not for our own benefit, but it's the benefit of others, for the world. So are you a person whose life is defined by grace?